And now, it's your turn with Dave Mullarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn. Weekdays from 12:30 to 2 on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn. 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Mullarkey.
Well, good afternoon once again, everyone. Friday, and we're finally getting a little bit of hazy sunshine around the area. We knew that was going to happen. We were really fogged in this morning, weren't we? Yeah. Right combination of things. And we had some downpours late yesterday afternoon, last evening. Had a lot of moisture, temperature just right, and we were fogged in for quite a while this morning. Hey, we have a good program today. We're going to be talking with Jack Cohen in just a second here. A little bit later on, this month is the anniversary of the Battle of Gettysburg here in Pennsylvania, the deadliest, bloodiest battle in the Civil War, by the way. We'll be talking about that with Ralph Peters. The Battle of Gettysburg was in early July. That's when it took place. Also on the program today, we're going to be talking about a new community program that they're going to be trying up in the Petroleum Valley, Garden City School District, to deal with the opioid addiction, which is a pandemic all over the country these days. Pastor John Pastorius will be joining us. Pastor Pastorius is from St. John's Reformed Church in Shakora, and he'll have information on this joining of forces by Garden City School District pastors and ministers. So that's coming up later on the program today. With us right now on the telephone is the president of the Butler County Tourism and Convention Bureau, and that's Jack Cohen. Jack, how you doing on this Friday?
Well, I'm great. How are you doing?
Always good on a Friday, Jack.
Funny how that helps out.
Yeah, and a Friday in midsummer, that makes it even better. We're going to be talking with Jack today about a launching by the Butler County Tourism and Convention Bureau this spring of a program that you may not be familiar with. It's called the Service Excellence Award. This is already underway, and it's going to be going, as I understand it, through close to the end of the year. Jack Cohen, tell us what this is all about, this Service Excellence Award.
Well, you know, we want to recognize people in our community that do great things. We want people to know where you shop and where you visit and where you play about businesses that go over and above what the expectation is of good service. And so we want people to be aware of it. We have secret shoppers out there throughout the entire county that are looking and visiting businesses. You know, we're a member-based organization, and we have over 425 different businesses that we represent. But it doesn't have to be one of ours. It can be a business that you wouldn't even think that tourists might even stop and visit, but they do. So they stop everywhere, even a gas station.
Mm-hmm.
And if someone's given you great service, we want to tell people about that business, and we want to teach and tell people about those folks that do it and what motivates them. So those are the things we're out there doing today. We've got 10 people geographically throughout the county that are going out, and they're secret shoppers, and they're meeting wonderful people and great businesses that provide that level of service that when folks come into our community, they feel very welcome, and they're served, and the needs that they need are covered. And they're great people doing it.
Now, these people are undercover. I mean, they're not wearing a badge or anything that indicates they're...
I wouldn't recognize them. It's just an average Joe. And, you know, and Julie, you'd never have any idea who they were. And when you do something great and in your normal job and the benefits that you have, this is the kind of thing we want people to know about and let them be pleasantly surprised. I can tell you one of the instances, one of our... secret shoppers turned into a report, and she talked to this young lady, and this young lady, you know, gave her amazing service. And when she told her who she was, she awarded her with this beautiful pin that all of our secret shoppers have, and they give them a card and tell them what they've been nominated for, this great award. And then she started to cry. She said never in the years that she's worked at that restaurant has anyone ever said that kind of thank you for the service level she gave.
Hmm. I know you kicked this program off in May of this year, and you had a speaker to talk about it, right?
His name is Scott. He is a phenomenal speaker, and his name is Scott Brown. He travels throughout the United States and internationally and talks about service, and that's what he does for a living. And I've known him probably for 20 years. I've done some different things in my past where we came across each other doing some training, and he teaches things that we take for granted every day. You know, and he tells a story about his own child, wasn't doing good at school, kind of depressed, you know, young kid in first grade, and wasn't really into school, and he couldn't figure out how to get her motivated. But what he didn't realize is that the basic things that he needed to check to make sure of. And what he found out is his daughter needed glasses. Because she couldn't read, because she couldn't see things, and couldn't keep up with the class, of course she was behind. But when they got her glasses, it was like the light bulb went off for this child. And what a difference something of so simple that you don't see every day. And so we look at that and kind of take that in a different way. It's the same thing when a guest walks through your door. You don't know what they want, and if you don't approach them and find out what their needs are, they can have a terrible experience. But there are people that are out there, as you walk in a door of any business, they greet you right away. They extend their hand in friendship. They take you over and get you the things you need. If it's at a department store, they take you. It's not like they tell you to go down the hall and turn right. They actually take you. You know, if you go to a restaurant, they guide you through the menu. They tell you about the philosophy, perhaps, of their business. All those kind of things that are over and above the daily grind and the norm, which we hope the norm is good. You know, and we want to know that, too. But we want to know who does that exceptional piece. And we're going to get out there, look for those folks, and really help them in the process of being able to share that message with everybody that lives in our community. So not only are we going to go out and reward the individual and the business, but we're going to tell everybody in our community where those folks are and where those businesses are. And we'll do that through the radio, as we do with you. We do it the newspapers. We're going to do it on social media. And we're going to reward these folks in public at one of our tourism events.
People notice this, whether it's somebody from around here or certainly someone from out of the area who's visiting, especially in today's day and age. Maybe 30 years ago, you wouldn't have noticed it so much. But personal service, you know, taking the extra step. I notice it when it happens to me. I mean, you can't help but notice it these days, you know?
And we should. We should because, look, everything that goes on in the world today that we see, you know, through the news, through what we read, what we see, what we hear every day, is, unfortunately, there's a lot of bad things in the world today. You know, if it's not war somewhere, or if it's not a drug issue, or if it's not a theft issue, or some bad situation, it seems to overpower us. And we need to start to talk about great stuff. And there's good things going on in our neighborhoods all the time. And we want to be able to tell people that.
So there'll be an actual awards ceremony sometime later in the year, Jack?
We'll do two. So what we've done, we've broken the system, this service excellence program down into two groups. The first one started in spring. We'll finish up towards the end of fall. And then we're going to have the winter one kick in. And the winter one will kick in through winter and then get us back to spring next year.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to do that, you know, two different sets and two different sets of secret shoppers. So, you know, the 10 folks that are out there now are doing their thing, and we've gotten probably 15 or 20 back already. People that have done amazing things in our backyard, and we love that. But we want to take those 10 or 15, if it turns into 50, that's great. But we want those folks to come together. We want to share some of their stories. We want to recognize them in public and then reward those that we think are the most outstanding. And we'll do that.
I like
now, the prizes haven't been selected yet, but it may be something as simple as a night out on Butler County Tourism. It may be something even much nicer with some kind of a big surprise of a prize. We just haven't decided that. But we think it's really important. The recognition piece is huge, not only for the individual, but to tell our community about great service and great facilities. And I think that's very important for us.
Well, this could be a big thing, could be a little thing, could be a couple of little things, could be something like, goodness gracious, just within the past week, the extra mile taken by those folks at the Verizon store, I think it was, that helped that gentleman that had lost his recreational vehicle in a horrible fire. You remember that last weekend?
Isn't that great to hear?
Yeah, yeah.
And where do you hear a community that steps up for somebody traveling through?
Yeah.
That's wonderful to hear that stuff. Mm-hmm. And it that should be the highlight of all the news that day. You know, and then you hear great stories all the time about somebody who lost something and how a community got together and helped. Look at the flood. Look at the, you know, from a terrible situation in town and how people are getting together and banding together to get these families back up and running.
Yeah.
You know, a tragedy, unfortunately, sometimes brings out the best in people. And they know that, you know, everybody's your neighbor. And that's how we should treat them.
Jack Cohen is our guest. He's the president of the Butler County Tourism and Convention Bureau, which has really stepped up over the past many years now and has become very active in promoting Butler County in places, listeners, that you may not know. I was talking with Rob Kerlick earlier this week from the Allegheny County Airport Authority, Jack, and your name came up because we were talking about all the new airline service now out of Pittsburgh International and the fact that, I mean, this is unbelievable. You can now fly direct from Pittsburgh to Iceland, to Reykjavik, and you can also fly to Frankfurt, Germany now, which is of great importance to us, not just for tourism, but for business purposes. And he mentioned four or five major companies in the southern part of Butler County with a lot of German ties that they're thrilled to have this new service.
It is wonderful. And you know, for us here in Butler County, it opens the door for folks coming in. And a great example, last week we had folks here from Mulehaus in Germany, which is the sister city of Saxenburg.
Mm-hmm.
Well, those folks are here, and they have the ability now to fly direct from Frankfurt, Germany, which is only 2 hours away from Mulehaus. So they can come here, and the nice part, Condor Air flies direct from Frankfurt into Greater Pittsburgh for $299 each way. If you take that same flight from Pittsburgh, you have to go either to New York or some other city and then connect to get to Frankfurt, and it's almost $2,000.
Yeah. Much more.
Now each way. I mean, it's insane. But these airlines, and then WOW Airlines, a direct flight to Reykjavik, is $99 each way. And so those folks can come visit with us now, and you know, and we can go there and visit with them. And people say, well, what would I do in Iceland? I have to tell you, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. That's a great place to go for a weekend because it's cheap enough. You know, if you want to go to Las Vegas, you think about flying to Las Vegas, it's probably a $500 ticket.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to Europe now for that. You can get in to Reykjavik and Reykjavik over to England for $163 each way.
It's really amazing. Plus the convenience of not having to, stop at one of the overcrowded airports along the East Coast that have been the traditional gateways, you know.
Nationally, and if you talk with the folks at the Airport Authority, I'm sure they're talking about the award that they won is the number one airport in the world.
Mm-hmm.
That's wonderful news that our airport is picked that way. And I say our airport because it's our regional airport, and they do wonderful things. You know, when we bring tournaments in, the Lemieux Center, and people come from all across the country and internationally, they welcome them on their signage and tell them, welcome to Butler County, welcome to Pittsburgh. You know, we appreciate your business. And they're doing that as people come in.
There's also, and according to Mr. Kerlick, they're still ironing out the final details on this, but there's going to be direct charter service to and from China, which is even more phenomenal.
Yeah, that's correct. And we have a sister city in Butler County with China. That's in Cranberry Township. They have a town called Haiyang, China. And that group is asking us to come visit. So isn't that interesting? Because that's where Westinghouse set up nuclear power plant.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and they work very closely with that government there, and they would love for us to come and visit with them and build that sister city relationship, as those folks have been here already.
Well, I'll have to practice up on my Chinese, I guess.
Hey, the world is a very small place.
That may take me a while. I'm not sure.
About Mars. You know, we find any Martians there, we may have tourist attractions on Mars.
Well, listen, if we ever do go to Mars, we have a leg up on the rest of the world for a sister city. You know that.
We sure do.
Talking with Jack Cullen. He's the president of the Butler County Tourism and Convention Bureau. Tourism, for people who, I know some of our listeners will be aware of this, some will not, tourism has now become the number one industry in Butler County, right? It's the number one economic generator.
It is. We're very proud of that. You know, I was just reviewing some financial things, and I will tell you, in 2001, when we started the Tourism Bureau here, our revenues were probably a little bit under $200,000. Maybe a little bit over, just in that neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And then now, you know, by the end of next year, we're going to surpass 1,000% increase in revenues as we continue to grow. And so as we continue, you know, and that is just from our bureau. But we're talking about almost $750 million a year in tourism revenues that come into the county.
And much of it is now more and more international, although we have had a significant number of visitors from Canada, have we not, even before some of these new airline flights?
Still number one to us of Canadian guests coming in. You know, with Route 79, a lot of those folks come down through Route 90 and get on the 79 and go south in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And so their first stop will probably be somewhere between Butler County and probably the bottom of Pennsylvania. So they stop and they stay, and you know, I remember a quote that I got from Wayne Conley when they owned Conley's Resort. He said if it wasn't for his Canadian market, they'd probably be out of business, because those folks would come down here early in the spring because they could golf here where there's still snow on the ground in Canada.
I have never gone to Moraine State Park that I haven't seen at least one or two Canadian license plates, usually Ontario. On the cars in the parking lot, so I know they're coming. And I guess, you know, I hate to sound too mercenary about this, but they don't have to pay taxes on clothing here in Pennsylvania, because our sales tax does not extend to clothing items. So I guess a lot of people come down from Canada to do back-to-school shopping and stuff like that.
They did, and, you know, we got a lot up from Grove City and in because of the outlets.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of those folks would come in, busloads and busloads of folks would come in and come into the park, come into our communities. You know, they stay in our hotels, certainly eat in our restaurants. Shopping is a big deal, certainly before school this time of year. Grove City gets real busy, and so do our restaurants and our hotels and shops all throughout the county.
We also have, I don't think you can discount this, particularly with the new flights by Condor to Germany. Apart from business and industry, which is certainly significant, you know, we have a lot of people of German ethnic origin here, and that's going to open up, I think, a lot of just plain old tourism back and forth between families, you know?
It should, in both ways, because those folks that have family ties still in Germany will bring those folks here because it's cheap enough to do that now.
Tell me a little bit, getting back to the Service Excellence Award. So this is going to go on, the phase one at least, through, did you say, into early fall, Jack?
Yeah, we're going to do this. This first piece will go all into fall. And then as the fall part breaks up there, we're going to start with a winter piece with new secret shoppers out there and visit any type of business. We've had a couple... Great. I'm going to give you a couple of the folks that have been nominated so far so you know that they're all from all over the place. Here's one from Mars. This young lady, her name's Molly McGinnis, and she works at Luciano's Italian Brick Oven. And she won one of the first pins that we gave out because she, you know, just worked so hard and was so pleasant and so nice and did everything that the guests needed, our secret shopper. And they gave her this award. You know, that's the kind of stuff that you want to see. When somebody greets you with a beautiful smile and a friendly hello, you know, that's, you feel good. You want to know you're welcome. And those are the kind of things that we want to see. it's not like you go to some restaurant, what's your order, what would you like? You know, the things that are just okay to get by every day, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about people that really show the service level to make you welcome. And that's important.
Well,
that's the things we want to talk about. Mm-hmm. You know, here's just somebody else in Butler.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Brenda Turner. She works at Kohl's. You know, can you imagine here you're in Kohl's department store. You walk in and she's telling the guest, our secret shopper, how to save money in her store.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
Those are the things that, doesn't that make you feel good? That's a wonderful thing when people are telling you to help you. Those are wonderful things that we see that are going on all over the county. Another great one. You know, here's Jody. Jody works at Cervantes Restaurant out by the Butler Airport. Another great job where her attentiveness to the guest was superior than anything that our secret shopper has ever experienced. Those are the kind of things we want to share with people and know that there are folks all over our community that do these great things. Another one, here's another one. You know, here's Patricia who works over at Lowe's in Cranberry Township. You know, you go, how many people go to a Lowe's and you get lost because it is the biggest hardware store you ever saw?
True.
Right? And you hardly ever see people on the floor because it's a big place. But yet, she asked for assistance, and that individual stayed with the customer, again, our secret shopper, for her entire stay to make sure she got everything she needed.
Well, when that sort of service is displayed, you notice it. I certainly notice it. I actually had a situation not too long ago where I was in the midst of making a purchase, and there were two people that actually stayed past the scheduled closing time of the store. I was there kind of at the last minute. Can you imagine that, Jack, me doing something at the last minute?
Isn't that amazing that here somebody said, you know what, this is important for this guest.
Yeah.
Make sure they're taken care of.
I could hardly get over it. I really was, you know.
And you'll go there for life because of that.
Absolutely. I've told that story many times already. Yeah.
I have one of my favorites, too. I pulled into a gas station that was in Cranberry Township, and, you know, the attendant comes out, hi, how are you? You know, what would you like? You know, so, and there was a woman, she said, I'll put the gas in. But she went and cleaned my windows. I don't remember that happening for years.
It's been a long time.
My windows, without even me asking. She cleaned my windows. And I thought that was everything in the way that I look at this program, where here's somebody doing something so little that meant so much.
And, of course, another purpose of the program, you're certainly going to be honoring individuals and businesses come the end of the year, sometime in November, before phase two of this program starts. But also, the word gets out by us talking about it today. And the next thing you know, employees are, whenever they have a company meeting or something, they get the word, hey, you know, we're working to improve customer service skills. You know, we're doing this all over the place. We want to make sure that people have a good experience when they come here. And it kind of spreads, you know?
It does. But it gets us to talk about great stuff again. It gets us to understand that there are good things going on. And we ought to be talking about that rather than all the bad stuff we keep hearing. And this is good for our community. I've got all my family lives here. My kids live here. My grandkids live here. And I would rather them be able to say, you know what, well, what a great time I had when I went to this restaurant or we shopped at that store or we whatever it is. It could be a doctor's office, anything that where you get great service, we want to talk about it.
Now, winner listeners will be chosen out of the county's 14 business categories announced at the general membership meeting of the Butler County Tourism and Convention Bureau in November. And the program will be ongoing. It'll be a second round of nominations that will begin immediately. I think it's just terrific. Jack Cullen, president of the Butler County Tourism and Convention Bureau. By the way, you mentioned the tourism continues to grow, and we see this. We still have more growth in hotel rooms, don't we, in Butler County?
We
that
do.
Is, that is ongoing.
Know, even today, I was just driving down in Cranberry, and I look over to my left, and there's a hotel being built right now. There's one that's going to be a Best Western. And the Best Western is over by the Lemieux Center,
mm-hmm.
and it's probably about 50% done now. So that, in a couple of months, will open up. And right across the street from that, across from where the Marriott is going to be another hotel called Element. And that is also a Marriott property that's getting built. It's being there with a Cracker Barrel restaurant. So that's getting built right now, too.
And we've had some new ones in the immediate Butler area, and another one to open a little bit later this year right in downtown Butler. And this, folks, believe me, these hotel companies, they have pretty significant market research. They don't just go in and build a hotel for the heck of it. They have a pretty good business plan, and have a pretty good idea that it's going to be successful. People are going to fill these rooms.
They will, and there's new restaurants and new shops all the time opening up throughout the county, and we're excited that people have opportunities for a quality of life, and we love talking about it. You know, even in our state park, you think about they have 12 cabins right now, and, you know, the state's doing a study. Maybe they need more, but it's service even there. You know, you have your park rangers and you have the park management folks. They're amazing. They have great skill sets that make people feel very welcome.
And they're free. First time I went to a state park in New York several years ago, I was almost embarrassing. I didn't realize you had to pay.
Yeah,
they had a toll booth when you went in.
We're very fortunate.
Yeah. Jack, thanks for talking with us today. Always good to talk with you, my friend.
Well, thank you, and enjoy the weekend.
Sure. Jack Cohen, president of the Butler County Tourism and Convention Bureau. Thanks again, Jack. It's going to be a beautiful day. Finally, we're getting a little bit of sunshine. Are you liking the hot weather? Does it make you too uncomfortable? Well, it is a little sticky. It's been the hottest week of the year so far. But just think about the frigid temperatures of January and shoveling snow. And then you feel a whole lot better straight away, don't you? Yeah. We have more to come on the It's Your Turn program today. We are going to be chatting here in just a few moments with Ralph Peters. We're going to be talking about the Battle of Gettysburg. We mark the anniversary of the Battle of Gettysburg this month. It took place in July. I think it was a three-day battle. Is that right, Pat Parker? Are you knowledgeable on Gettysburg? Have you been there? Have you? Anyway, we're going to be talking about that with Ralph Peters coming up next on the program. And then following that, we will be chatting on the 1:30 segment today with a local pastor, Pastor John Pistorius. He's pastor at St. John's Reformed Church in Chicora. We're going to be talking about the Carn City School District ministers joining forces to battle addiction. They've got an event coming up here in later on in the summer, a couple of weeks, actually, that we want to talk about, see what's going on there. Haven't talked with John in a while. He's been with us on the program previously, maybe a couple of years ago. On the Monday, we have a book talk day. North Trails Library has selected a mystery. I love a good mystery, don't you? Yeah. By author Ruth Ware. She is an English mystery writer. If you immediately think of Agatha Christie when you hear English mystery writer, well, that's kind of the style that Ruth Ware writes in. The book is called The Woman in Cabin 10. A lot of suspense. Yeah, good mystery. We'll be talking about it on Monday, a book talk day here on WISR. And among our guests next week will be former war correspondent Linda Schuster. She'll be with us middle of next week. So, just a little hint of what's to come on that final week of July. Can you believe that? Next week, final week of July. Holy moly. We'll take a break, and then we'll be chatting with Ralph Peters here on the next segment of the program today. One of our sponsors on It's Your Turn is Miller Shoes, 215 South Main Street in downtown Butler. Miller Shoes, headquarters for summer shoes. Whether it's athletic shoes, they have all your favorite brands right there. And I do mean an incredible selection. Nike, Saucony, Rockport, New Balance. I like New Balance. My choice. Rockport, Keds, Skechers, Easy Spirit, Asics, Pro Pet. They've got them all. They've got them all right there. So they've got the biggest selection in the area, really. And sandals, not just sandals, but SAS sandals. You know SAS shoes, right? America's favorite comfort shoes, made in America, by the way. Not too many shoes are made in the United States anymore. Miller Shoes is your local headquarters for SAS Shoes, men's and women's. And yes, SAS makes sandals. And just like their comfort shoes, in a variety of different styles and colors. And they are, you know, sometimes sandals, have you had sandals? Everybody has, that are really, actually hurt your feet. They're tough to walk in, nice and cool. Tough to walk in. Oh, not SAS sandals. No, they're comfy, like bedroom slippers. Take a look, stop in, take a look. Get fitted by the good folks, the Ciprians at Miller's Shoes, 215 South Main Street in downtown Butler for 125 years. They've been putting shoes on people's feet here in our area. Really? Yeah. Miller's Shoes, 215 South Main Street, downtown.
I know of a way to reduce the level of future stress in your life, and I know that it works. One of the most stressful times in our lives is immediately after the death of a loved one, because we have to make so many decisions. The funeral, which casket, which minister, priest, or rabbi, cremation, visitations, church service or not, all these decisions. Thompson Miller Funeral Home in Butler suggests that you avoid all these last-minute decisions during that most emotional time by pre-planning. To make all of these decisions now, when you can think clearly and rationally, when you're not burdened by the immediate event. Talk it over soon, now, with Thompson Miller Funeral Home at the corner of East North and McCain Streets in downtown Butler. Call 724-287-3706, 287-3706, or www.thompson-miller.com. Pre-arrangement. It makes sense. Thompson Miller. Time-honored excellence.
Listeners, we're going to be talking about one of the most important battles in American history on the next segment of It's Your Turn here today. Welcome if you're joining us a few minutes late. My name is Dave Malarkey. Our guest visits with us by telephone today. He is author Ralph Peters, author of a book entitled Cain at Gettysburg. First of all, Ralph, nice to meet you. Nice to have you with us today.
Well, Dave, I really appreciate you having me on. This book is very near and dear to my heart, and so is Pennsylvania, where I was born and grew up.
Wonderful. Well, of course, by the way, before we go any further, have you run into this slight controversy on how to pronounce, is it Gettysburg or Gettysburg? Have you run into that in your research?
Well, it's funny because growing up in eastern Pennsylvania, folks used to say Gettysburg as though there was a G in there. Battle of Gettysburg.
Huh.
But it's Gettysburg. It's kind of in between a I-S and E-E-S sound, I think.
Yeah, we always said, certainly when I was, you know, a kid studying history, Gettysburg, but more recently I've heard people say Gettysburg, and I wondered what it was. If you're not worried about it, then I'm not worried about it.
Well, you know, I tell you, I'm rigid about historical facts. This is the most accurate Civil War novel any of your listeners will ever read, but sometimes things just get silly.
Oh, that's
and,
true.
And to argue, Gettysburg or Gettysburg, just go there. It's a wonderful, brilliant place. It's a shrine for Americans who respect our history. The National Park Service does a great job, although I miss the old electric map. And the thing that matters is what men did there and how they felt and what they were fighting for on both sides and the valor, but also the very human side of war, which is not always pretty.
Yeah.
I'm less worried about how things are pronounced than I am about what happened.
Let's talk a little bit first about your choice of how to tell this story. You've chosen historical fiction after a great deal of research about what happened at Gettysburg. Why did you choose historical fiction as opposed to just history, nonfiction?
Well, for a very straightforward reason. A straightforward history book will tell you that those men were marching in 86-degree heat in wool uniform. Well-written and well-researched historical fiction will tell you what it felt like to march in 86-degree heat in those wool uniforms with an empty canteen, your buddies griping, the sounds of battle ahead of you, smoke rising from the field, no food in your haversack. So what well-done historical fiction can give you, and I'm the first to admit that not all of it's well-done. I've read some great historical novels and some terrible ones, but when it's well-done, it can also get inside the psychology. And for me, this book was one I've literally wanted to write since childhood, back in the 50s and early 60s, when I started visiting Gettysburg. And what I was able to bring to it by waiting until I was really ready to write it for the 150th anniversary of the battle, I was a career soldier. Went from enlisted man to lieutenant colonel. After 22 years, I retired to write full-time. But I was also an amateur historian all my life and a successful novelist. So I had the writing facility, but I also had the knowledge, not just the historical facts, which are vital, but also I knew how privates and sergeants really think, because I was one. I knew how generals act behind the scenes when the jealousies come out, because I worked with plenty of them. I understood how hard it is to get men up at 2 o'clock in the morning when they're cold and wet and miserable and there's nothing to eat. So I think Cain at Gettysburg, and that's Cain as in Cain and Abel, Cain at Gettysburg just gives you a level of reality that other novels don't, because, you know, I've lived so much of it.
Well, there are many critics who agree with not only your philosophy, but certainly with your efforts. There is a testimonial comment from Newsweek magazine on the cover of your book, Cain at Gettysburg, and let me quote that. Ralph Peters' battle scenes are masterpieces of perspective. It is hard to imagine a better portrayal. That's a quote from the Newsweek.
I have to come clean about that, because the cover's not clear. The publisher puts the cover together. That Newsweek quote about the great battle scenes is for a previous novel of mine, and they're allowed to use quotes like that. But the early reviews for the new novel, Cain at Gettysburg, have been even better. I mean, they've just been terrific. They range from very good to great. But again, I try to be a scrupulously honest guy. So that particular quote, although it's on the cover of the book, refers to one of my earlier novels.
Ralph Peters, listeners, for those of you who maybe saying to yourself, that name sounds familiar. He's a popular TV commentator. He's also the award-winning author of 28 books. So this is certainly not his first effort. I want to get to some of the nuts and bolts of the history that is so crucial to your novel, Ralph. But first of all, who is Cain? Is that a person, Cain, C-A-I-N?
No, Cain is in Cain and Abel, because that was certainly, our Civil War was brother against brother. And there was a brotherhood of officers who faced each other at Gettysburg, wearing blue and gray, who had been brothers in arms before the war. It works on many levels. So for me, it was just, again, that biblical reference. And, of course, you know, the Bible is important because those men were just had a different level of religious faith and outright religiosity that we don't have. So that's what it came at Gettysburg. And there were a couple of different things I was trying to do in this novel, in addition to writing a very accurate, exciting novel about Gettysburg. And one that I think will really reach many of your listeners, I was trying to get the immigrants back in the picture, because when we read books about the novels about Civil War, or see a miniseries or a movie, maybe there's one Irishman, and he's dressed up in a blue uniform. He's basically a leprechaun in a blue uniform. Well, the Irish who fought at Gettysburg were survivors of the Great Famine and the famine ships. They were hard, hard, tough men. When Pickett's charge survivors hit the wall at the Bloody Angle, the 69th Pennsylvania, Philadelphia Irishmen, were waiting for them, and they just thumped the living daylights out of the Confederates. So the Confederates who made it to the wall surrendered, the ones who weren't killed. The 69th Pennsylvania, those Irishmen, were ferocious. No tougher unit fought at Gettysburg. But then on the other side, you had the 26th North Carolina, also incredibly brave. That unit, the 26th North Carolina, in 3 days of battle, suffered 85% casualties. Imagine that. Out of every 10 men that went into the battle, 8.5 of those men were killed or wounded. I mean, just phenomenal courage. And there's nobody realizes there were Poles, a lot of Poles, Polish emigres from the failed rising against Russia in the late 1840s, were on that battlefield. There's one great American, a Polish-born American hero we've forgotten, named Wojciech Krzyżanowski. And Colonel Krzyżanowski at Gettysburg, later Brigadier General, he, in Brooklyn, New York, raised a Polish legion, a Polish regiment, to fight for the Union. And at Gettysburg, he commanded a brigade of Poles and Germans. These guys loved him, would follow him anywhere. He's on the first day, he's badly injured, ordered to leave the battlefield. He refuses to leave. He will not leave his troops in a battle. on the night of the 2nd at Cemetery Hill, he leads a crucial, he can hardly walk, and he still draws his sword and leads a crucial counterattack on Cemetery Hill to restore the Union line. And a guy can barely walk, barely raise his arm, his horse has fallen on him. And he's charging forward with his men, and they're swinging clubs, and the artillerymen are swinging buckets and sponge rammers, and it's just a melee. But this guy won't quit. So I wanted to, that's not the sole focus of the book, but I thought it was only right to restore the immigrants to the battlefield, because the Union could not have won without those German and Irish and Polish immigrants. And by the way, there was even one Chinese on that battlefield.
Well, that will resonate with people here in Pennsylvania, western Pennsylvania, and also your end of the state, because obviously we had a lot of immigrants. We have a lot of people of ethnic heritage from Germany and Ireland and Poland here. You know,
this is their book, because they get the fair treatment at last.
Let us take a quick break. We have a little bit more time to chat with author Ralph Peters, and we'll pick up the conversation here on It's Your Turn on WISR in just a moment. We'll be right back. We are speaking today with physical medicine and rehabilitation specialist Dr. Edward Reedy from Tri-Rivers Surgical. Dr. Reedy, what is electrodiagnostic testing?
Electrodiagnostic testing, or also known as EMG testing, is an electrical test of the outside or peripheral nervous system. It involves predominantly disorders of the nerves in your arms or legs. It's used for a variety of conditions, most commonly carpal tunnel syndrome or other pinched nerves in the arms, but also can be very helpful for diagnosing pinched nerves of the spinal axis, either the cervical or lumbar areas. And occasionally for more serious neurologic conditions such as peripheral neuropathy or even Lou Gehrig's disease.
To learn more, call Tri-Rivers Surgical at their new office near the Clearview Mall in Butler, toll-free 866-874-7483.
At Butler Health System, there's more to medicine than the most advanced tools and techniques. There's the dedication to providing the most personal care, one that's shared by every member of our team, like renowned neurosurgeon Dr. Michael Horowitz.
I came to Butler because I wanted to practice medicine the way it's supposed to be done. It's truly about the patient. We get to know the people and what's important to them.
That dedication is why Butler Health System is trusted by our neighbors across the region and chosen by exceptional doctors who share our philosophy that the patient comes first, like orthopedic surgeon Charles Spingola.
I knew I'd have the tools and technology, but I also knew that there was a real commitment to genuine care. We don't treat medicine like an assembly line.
At Butler, we know what it takes to provide the very best of care, but more importantly, we know why we have to. Caring hands, remarkable minds. That's Butler Health System.
Welcome back, listeners. If you're joining us a little bit late on It's Your Turn today here on WISR, welcome. My name is Dave Malarkey. Our guest visits with us by telephone today. He is a TV commentator and author, Ralph Peters. We're discussing his book, Cain at Gettysburg. You know, the more I think about it, Ralph, your biblical analogy of Cain versus Abel, using that in your title, is most apropos. A lot of folks say today that the country has never been as divided, as polarized as it is today. But then you think about the Civil War. Wow. Brother
right.
against brother.
In our Civil War, at least 624,000 Americans died. I'd say we were a little more divided back then.
I think you're right. Let's talk a little bit about some of the principles. Most of our listeners will, you know, at least vaguely remember the name. Certainly the leader of the Confederate side was Robert E. Lee. On the other side, I believe it was George Meade, who was the leader of the Union troops at the time of Gettysburg. Is that right?
That's right. And another purpose in another goal of mine in writing this book was to restore Meade to his rightful place as an American hero. George Gordon Meade of Philadelphia, what Meade did at Gettysburg was amazing. And I don't like sports analogies mixed with war, but I'm going to use one anyway. Now, he takes command 3 days before the battle, command of an army that's used to being defeated. The Army of the Potomac is scattered all over the place. Morale is low. And he takes command 3 days before the battle and wins the greatest land battle ever fought in the Western Hemisphere. And it's as if it's as if an NFL coach takes over a team 3 days before the Super Bowl, and his team is, there's good players, but they're disorganized. He's got a good backfield, decent line, but they're underrated, and they've been beaten every single time by the team they're going to play in the Super Bowl. And yet, in 3 days, that coach whips his team into shape and wins a smashing victory. Now, that would be amazing in the NFL. But imagine how amazing it was for an army, to get an army under control in 3 days and make virtually every right decision. And at the same time, Robert E. Lee, the Confederate commander at Gettysburg, made a lot of bad decisions. Gettysburg's really his low point. But George Gordon Meade, historically, didn't get the credit he deserved for several reasons. One, he wasn't a charismatic man. He was just a thorough, quiet professional, although he had a bad temper. Two, he didn't pander to the press. And three, his enemies, those who were jealous of him, like General Dan Sickles, a great scoundrel who almost lost the battle for the Union at Gettysburg. Meade dies in 1871, shortly after the war. Sickles and Meade's other detractors lived into the 20th century and criticized him to the end. Plus, the Southern Lost Cause advocates could not stand that a Union general, George Meade, had beat Robert E. Lee in a fair fight on a fair field with roughly even numbers. So George Gordon Meade of Philadelphia he's an almost forgotten American hero, and I just wanted to give him a fair shake, and I hope I did in this book.
Did Lincoln realize what a guy he had in George Meade at the time, or no?
Well, Lincoln personally ordered George Meade to take command on June 28th, but Sickles is wounded at Gettysburg after almost losing the battle, and Sickles has himself carried. He's losing a leg, but he has himself carried to Washington because he knows the president, and he knows the president will come visit him, and Sickles immediately starts poisoning Lincoln with lies about what he did at Gettysburg and saying, oh, Meade just wanted to retreat, Meade's no good. And then President Lincoln, who made many good decisions but wasn't a soldier and didn't understand everything, he was riled up because he thought General Meade, after the battle, should have immediately pursued Robert E. Lee and destroyed the Army of Northern Virginia. Well, the Confederates at Gettysburg were badly beaten, but they weren't vanquished. They had a lot of fight in them, and Lee was hoping Meade would attack so he could get some of his own back. And you got to go back to July 3rd, 1863, and the way it's portrayed in the novel, Cain at Gettysburg, is accurate. Those Union officers and men had been losing to Lee for so long, as the smoke from Pickett's Charge clears, and they see the Confederate dead and all the Confederate prisoners they've taken and the others retreating across the field, they are stunned by success. And at the same time, the Union Army is almost as disorganized by victory as Lee's is by defeat. They've been fighting for 3 days. Some units haven't been fed. They're out of water. The local creeks are polluted with dead bodies and human waste. They've got thousands of prisoners to process, tens of thousands of wounded to take care of, thousands of corpses all over the field. They have to resupply ammunition. The fighting's been so intense, they've lost all their many company and regimental grade officers. You have to reorganize units. So to an outsider, to a politician, or sadly to some historians today, it's just moving symbols on a map. But in reality, and this is where my own military experience helps me understand things, in reality, it's hard to organize a pursuit with an army that's been battered by 3 days of savage fighting. So I think Meade got an unfair deal on that one, too. But the proof of Meade's talent is this. He is the only commander of the Army of the Potomac that never gets fired. When Grant comes east in 1864 to take overall control of the war, he doesn't fire Meade. Meade's the one guy he keeps in place. And Meade leads the Army of the Potomac until the surrender at Appomattox. So, but history's not fair. History plays favorites. And we all like the dashing young guys or the people that said ringing pronouncements. But Meade was a quiet hero who did his job and hasn't been adequately recognized for it.
We're talking with author Ralph Peters about his historical novel, Cain at Gettysburg. I'm assuming, Ralph, available at all the places where we would find books these days?
Sure. It's all the big bookstores, all the good independent bookstores online at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, Kindle, Nook, whatever. But I also recognize that for plenty of people out there in my home state of Pennsylvania, times are tough. So, look, I would like you to buy the book. It's worth it. Trust me, it's good. My publisher desperately wants you to buy the new book. But if times are tough, get it from the library. I just want you to read it.
A little bit more about Gettysburg. First of all, this battle was almost an accident. I mean, there's certainly neither of the two sides actually planned to fight at Gettysburg, did they? I mean, they kind of blundered into it at this particular location.
Yeah, they did. That's absolutely true. And Meade, when he took over command, he had better intelligence than Lee, but it was far from perfect. And Meade's predecessor, Hooker, had neglected things so badly that Meade takes command. He doesn't even have a map of southern Pennsylvania. Hmm. It's amazing. But Meade uses his cavalry very effectively. He sends his specialist officers, engineers, and artillerymen out to find the best ground to fight on. There's a place called the Pipe Creek Line in northern Maryland where he would have liked to fight. But he recognized that, you know, you just don't always get what you want in life. And so he was very flexible. And when Lee's men blunder into the Union cavalry screen, Buford's cavalrymen, west of Gettysburg, Lee is utterly surprised, whereas Meade has positioned his men where they can reinforce each other well. And although the first day goes badly for the Union, Meade is able to, he's organized the army so well that he can recover, and by the second day he's got a line that the Confederates just can't crack, no matter how brave they are.
Gettysburg, of course, turned out to be one of the most important battles in American history, and I believe, I'm no expert on the Civil War, Ralph, but I believe it turned out to be the only major battle of the Civil War that was fought in Pennsylvania. Am I correct on that?
That's correct. There were minor skirmishes up around Harrisburg and Chamberlain and Carlisle and Mechanicsville on the same Gettysburg campaign. Later in the war, the city of Chambersburg is burned by Confederate raiders. But yes, the only major battle on Pennsylvania soil was at Gettysburg, and it was decisive. I mean, historians are always, they need a new theme, a new topic, so now you're saying, well, Gettysburg wasn't that important. Well, wait a minute. If Robert E. Lee's Army of Northern Virginia had shattered the Union Army under Meade at Gettysburg, Robert E. Lee's valiant ragamuffins would have been marching down Broad Street in Philadelphia in less than a week, and the war would have been over.
Wow.
Meade really did rescue the Union, and he had a lot of help. Brave subordinates, Win Hancock, and many, many others, not just Hancock. You know, men like Gibbon, who a division commander, fights incredibly bravely. That Polish colonel, Krzyżanowski. Everybody knows about Joshua Chamberlain, although his role in the battle is somewhat overrated by most people. They don't really understand that the Union Army won with teamwork. It was a huge team. The Confederates lost partly because they didn't fight as a team. All these corps and division commanders are fighting their own battles, and it's funny because even though Meade's promoted just before the battle, and he's suddenly in charge of his former peers, except for Sickles, they obey his orders to the letter and pull together as a team. Whereas Lee, he can't get his subordinates to obey his orders. He partly because he couches them as suggestions, but they won't listen to him. It's amazing. And so you've got different battles or non-battles going on where the Confederates miss one chance after another, and Meade, except for not monitoring Sickles closely enough on day two, Meade doesn't make a mistake. He uses his forces with absolute brilliance, and he's an incredibly brave man. There's a point, a crisis on July 2nd, the second day of the battle. This moment of crisis comes with Confederates have almost broken through the Union line. Meade's trying to rush up reinforcements to stop them, and he finds himself in the twilight, just him and four aides and couriers with him, four horsemen plus him, five guys, and suddenly out of the smoke, a Confederate brigade, thousands of Confederates in line, battle flags flying, appear coming straight at him. And there's nobody else. And Meade draws his sword. He's going to fight to the end. He draws his sword. He's going to attack right into that brigade with his five horsemen. And just as he's ready to charge these guys, over the hill comes John Newton and units from the First Corps, and they just rip past Meade, flags waving, and shatter the Confederate attack. It's one of those moments in history that it's almost too perfect, it's almost too Hollywood, but it really happened.
Listeners, there are many more stories like this, recounting of what actually happened, but told in this manner, as Ralph was just explaining. It's really really the story of Gettysburg as it's not been told before. It's pretty amazing. Was this a particularly bloody battle, Ralph, 3 days?
Yes, it was. You had a total, not counting prisoners of war, over 36,000 total casualties, and the official killed in action figure is 6,655, both sides. Wounded, just under 30,000. But you have to remember, with the medical care of that time, quite a number of those wounded men would later die. So you probably had 9 or 10,000 Americans killed in those 3 days. And again, a total, not counting prisoners, of over 36,000, with prisoners, almost 50,000 casualties. A third of the men on that field who fought in both armies, a third of them, one out of three, became casualties of some sort.
Listeners, again, the title of the book, Cain at Gettysburg. That's Cain, C-A-I-N, the biblical reference. Cain at Gettysburg by Ralph Peters, New York Times best-selling author. Ralph, thanks so much for the time today. Very, very interesting. It was great to talk with you.
Well, I appreciate your time very, very much, and my very best wishes to all my fellow Pennsylvanians out there.
I was just 49 when I started getting mail from AARP. AARP? Shoot, I was just getting started in life. Then I hit my 60s and retirement was on my mind. The big question was, did I prepare? What about healthcare? Are my finances in order? Not just for my wife and me, but for the kids and grandkids. I got the answers I needed from attorney Michael Pater, specializing in elder law, long-term care, Medicaid, and wills and estate planning, is attorney Michael Pater in the Handicap Accessible Morgan Center. Phone 287-7724.
For so many of us, a loving pet is, well, it's a member of the family, isn't it? If you're looking for a veterinarian you can trust when it comes time for a checkup or treatment for a pet that's ill, consider Suburban Animal Clinic and Dr. Dennis Damon, Route 8 South of Butler, 4 miles south of Butler, right at the intersection of Route 8 South and Thorncrest Drive. Dr. Damon treats small animals, dogs, cats, all small animals, and exotic pets, too. If you have a question about illness, symptoms, shots, a checkup, if you need to talk to someone about concerns with an aging pet or a pet near the end of life, you can trust Dr. Dennis Damon. He loves animals. He's a pet owner himself. Dr. Dennis Damon, veterinarian at Suburban Animal Clinic. Hours by appointment only, Monday through Saturday. Credit cards are accepted, and he makes house calls, too. Dr. Dennis Damon, Suburban Animal Clinic, Route 8, 4 miles south of Butler at the intersection of Route 8 and Thorncrest Drive. Phone 287-5289.
Learning about the Battle of Gettysburg, huh? The only major battle in the Civil War that was fought in Pennsylvania. Hey, coming up on Monday, it's a book talk day on Monday. We do this, you know, once a month through the cooperation of the library system of Butler County. It's the turn of North Trails Library on Monday, and they've selected I like a good mystery. Yeah. In fact, that's probably my favorite recreational reading, a good mystery. Ruth Ware is an English writer from the United Kingdom, went to Manchester University. And the book that's been selected by North Trails Library officials to discuss is called The Woman in Cabin 10. And it's a New York Times bestseller. So, pretty good book if you like Agatha Christie. Have you read much Agatha Christie? I read some, probably 4 or 5. I haven't devoured her. Of course, she hasn't been writing for quite a while, but she wrote a whole bunch of them. Well, this is kind of it's kind of reminiscent of an Agatha Christie story. It takes place on a ship, on a cruise ship. The Woman in Cabin 10. So we'll be talking about that on the Monday edition of It's Your Turn Book Talk. Among other guests next week, we will be chatting with former war correspondent Linda Schuster. Just saw an article about her this past weekend in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Former correspondent,
war correspondent for both the Wall Street Journal and the Christian Science Monitor. We'll be talking with her next week. Anxious to chat with her. Fascinating career. Linda Schuster. We'll have a lot more guests, too, of course, next week, but give you a couple of hints there of things to come. One of our sponsors on the It's Your Turn program today is Gowan Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center. They are located just off Newcastle Road at Shockey Lane. It's right behind King's and Villa Grande restaurants there. You know where that is. Just off Newcastle Road. It's not too far from the Butler High School entrance. Gowan Postal Butler in the Shockey Mini Storage area. So what do they do there? Well, it's very simple. They package your items for shipping. And this is something that can be, it can be a real bag, quite frankly. You know, you got to ship something and you never seem to find the right equipment, you know. If you don't ship all that often, you need the wrapping paper, the special tape, the mailing labels, twine, whatever. They can take care of all that for you. They package your items for shipping, and you can ship them any way you want, FedEx, UPS, U.S. Postal Service. They'll provide the service. They also offer copying service at Gowan Postal Butler. They offer scanning, faxing service, mailbox rentals, custom boxes. They have greeting cards. They have an official notary there, sometimes handy. They're even a lottery agent, too. Your friendly neighborhood shipping center. Gowan Postal Butler on Shockey Lane, just off Newcastle Road, right behind King's and Villa Grande. Gowan Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center, delivering the best of America. Want more information? Give them a call. Give you the phone number here. I can tell you exactly what they can do for you. 724-841-0044. That's 724-841-0044. We'll be right back.
I wasn't prepared to be a caregiver to Mom, but a little over a year ago, we realized she couldn't take care of herself without our help. And, well, how could I not be there for her? I had no idea how hard it would be and just what I would need to know. Things I never thought of, like how to improve her mood and, even for me, ways to stay positive. Luckily, I found the Caregiving Resource Center from AARP. It had articles about the basics that got me started, but also information about the hurdles I was facing in this new role. I could even connect with experts and hear from others who had been in my place. I know this road we're on isn't an easy one, but I'm really happy to have the extra help for her and for me. Caregiving Resource Center at aarp.org/caregiving. Articles, tips, and tools to help you both care for your loved one and care for yourself. This message is brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Tune in to WISR 680 AM Sunday mornings for these programs. Senior Voice at 7:10 a.m., The Rosary at 8, Church of God at Conakinesing at 8:30, followed by church services from St. Paul's Roman Catholic Church at 9:15, and First Baptist Church at 11.
Welcome back, friends. We have a couple of minutes that we're able to chat with a guest about a topic that's intriguing. Do we have more violence today in our society than we used to? Or is it simply a case that there's so much coverage today, whether it's 24-hour news stations or social media or even some pretty violent pictures that we see on TV that maybe we didn't used to see? Do we have a twisted view of whether or not violence is increasing? We had a chance to talk about that a couple of days ago with a gentleman who has studied this to some degree. His name is Steve Pinker. Here's how our conversation went. We talked with him just a couple of days ago.
On in the schoolyard, we now consider bullying to be a major problem. When I was growing up, boys will be boys, and you turn boys into sissies if you protected them from bullying. So our conscience has expanded. I think the media have helped in making us more aware of violence that takes place, but the only downside is that people can be misled into thinking that there's nothing you can do about violence, or maybe even that it's getting worse.
Our guest, Steven Pinker, listeners, is an experimental psychologist, one of the world's foremost writers on language, mind, and human nature. He's currently a Harvard College professor and Johnstone Family Professor of Psychology at Harvard University. A lot of people seem to have a more visual reaction to violence today than in the past. My supposition on that might be because of the pictures that we see on TV these days. We didn't used to see these, number one. And number two, they didn't used to show such graphic pictures before.
I think that is part of the explanation, yes. In World War I, the British government and the American government would not allow photographs of the war to be published while the war was going on because they thought it would hurt morale. It was said that the Vietnam War, in contrast, was the first war to be brought into people's living rooms. And there was, of course, enormous opposition to the war in Vietnam because of the graphic images, the most famous being that heart-wrenching picture of the naked little girl running from the napalm attack. You just couldn't see the war in the same way after seeing that image. You couldn't think of it as noble and spiritual and glorious. And that may even be more true now that we have more intense news coverage. The downside is that it means that there are people who take advantage of that. If you want to get the world's attention, then you can manipulate the news media by staging a theatrical act of violence, and that's terrorism and rampage shootings. But by and large, our awareness of violence at least makes us care more about it.
Have you found any evidence in your research that video games, which have proliferated, play any factor in violent behavior?
No, I think video games are a red herring. That as video games became more and more popular, the rates of violence just went down and down and down. And the generation that's that's playing video games is actually a pretty peaceful generation compared to the baby boomers who came before.
Some of the great thinkers of past centuries are mentioned in your book, The Better Angels of Our Nature. Can these individuals have anything to say to us today, hundreds of years later in some cases?
Very much. Just to give one example, everyone knows who Gandhi was, but it's easy to think, well, yeah, nonviolence might have worked against the British. They were kind of a civilized people, but it's naive to think that nonviolence would work in general. And, you know, who knows? Maybe he's right, maybe he's wrong. Well, recently someone did a study, Erica Chenoweth and Maria Stephan, where they just counted the number of nonviolent resistance movements and violent resistance movements and saw which one had a better track record. And it turns out that the nonviolent resistance movements have a double or more the success rate of the violent ones. So Gandhi, assassinated in the late 1940s, turns out to have been right, and we only discovered it decades after he died.
Terrorism is a major concern in all parts of the world these days. Did we have terrorism in the past by a different name?
We did. There were the zealots, the Jewish resistors of the Roman occupation after the destruction of the Second Temple, who would attack officials and then try to melt into the crowd. You had the thugs in India that would attack travelers, gave us the word thug. We had the anarchists. Remember the image of the guy in the black cloak with the bomb, and anarchists killed many heads of state and bombed many cafes around the turn of the 20th century, including William McKinley, the American president. We are more aware of terrorism, and probably it has gone up since the 60s simply because of the worldwide news coverage. Terrorism is basically theater. It's done not to damage the enemy. It's done to gather the world's attention. And when you have a bigger media establishment, you have more stages for people to act out to terrorism.
I think it would be impossible to discuss this topic without mentioning the genocides of actually just the past 100 years or so. Was there anything in history to compare with Hitler's Germany and the Holocaust prior to that horrific occurrence?
There are there were many exterminations of entire peoples. You can read about them in the Old Testament of the Bible, where God commanded the Israelites to slay every last man, woman, and child of various enemy groups. The Athenians in Melos, the Romans in Carthage. So yes, I mean, there's nothing on the scale of Hitler's Holocaust of the European Jews with 6 million victims, but there were many cases of outright annihilation. Native American tribes in a number of cases were annihilated down to the last man, woman, and child.
Final question: do you have any hopes for the future that violence will continue to decline?
Absolutely. This is not just a kind of complacent optimism, and there are horrible opportunities for kinds of violence that could take place. But we've succeeded in abolishing certain institutions like legal slavery, like dueling, like human sacrifice. We've brought down the numbers of others, like homicide. And it's not romantic or utopian to think that we could achieve more, that say, war between countries could go the way of slave auctions and dueling among men of honor, or that rates of homicide in parts of the world where it's very high, like in Latin America, could be brought down. It's not romantic because it's happened in the past, that if it has happened, then it could happen.
Steven Pinker, listeners, author of The Better Angels of Our Nature, Why Violence Has Declined. Thank you, sir. Thanks for talking with us today.
Thank you for having me on.
Sure. So long now.
The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location, downtown Butler, to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler. Are you looking for a new pharmacy after hearing news of Kmart closing? Celebrating 10 years of pharmacy care to the Butler community, locally owned Institute Hill Pharmacy can fill your prescriptions in just 10 minutes. We take all major insurance plans, stock a variety of over-the-counter medications, and pride ourselves on fast, friendly customer service. And we are excited to offer a $5 off coupon for any transferred prescription from Kmart customers. Some restrictions apply.
Check out Institute Hill Pharmacy on Facebook or stop by their location on East Jefferson Street.
Institute Hill Pharmacy. An old-fashioned pharmacy, just the way you remember.
Welcome back. It's the Friday edition of It's Your Turn. We were scheduled to chat with Pastor John Pistorius today about a new joining of forces of ministers and pastors in the Carson City School District to try to help those who are battling addiction and families who have people battling addiction. It doesn't look like the pastor's going to be able to make it today. I think he was making some pickups at the airport, so there could have been some delays there. No problem. We will reschedule him sometime next week. In fact, we'll get him on just as quickly as we can. They're having a program coming up next month in the Carson City School District, Shakora Park, actually, to draw attention to this battle. And there are communities large and small all over the area, all over the country, that are trying to do their best to help those who are battling addiction. I understand this is an educational program and a fun day, too. So we'll talk with the pastor about that as soon as we can get him rescheduled here on the program. Next week, as we say, it's a book talk day on Monday. A guest from North Trails Library will be with us to discuss a pretty good mystery. I have not finished it yet. I've just started it a couple of days ago, as a matter of fact. It's an English mystery called The Woman in Cabin 10 by Ruth Ware. She is the author of a previous New York Times best-selling mystery called In a Dark, Dark Wood. So we'll talk about that. I'm into the book, so I can tell you that it's pretty good. But then I love good mysteries. I love good thrillers. This takes place, much of it, on a cruise ship. So if you're into English mystery, if you're an Agatha Christie fan, I think you'll enjoy this one. We'll talk about it on the Monday program by Ruth Ware. Incidentally, if you're looking for her, it's W-A-R-E, Ruth Ware. And again, the book is The Woman in Cabin 10. Among our guests next week, we're going to be talking with some folks from St. Barnabas next week on the program. We also have our regular monthly edition of City Hall next week here on It's Your Turn. That'll be on Friday. Guests from Butler Downtown will be with us next week as well. And we will be chatting with former war correspondent, journalist, former war correspondent, Linda Schuster, who was a correspondent for a couple of different groups, Christian Science Monitor for one, and also for the Wall Street Journal. Her writing has appeared in a bunch of magazines as well. The Atlantic, Gutney Reader, New York Times magazine. And she is local. She lives here in western Pennsylvania. Linda Schuster, story of her career as a war correspondent. Just a couple of quick notes for you here as we're getting ready to wrap up the program just a little bit early today. We had guests, I guess a couple of weeks ago now, from the Musical Theater Guild's production of Nonsense. It's sold out the rest of the run. They have three performances left tonight, tomorrow night, and Sunday afternoon, but they're all sold out. We got word from the Musical Theater Guild early this morning. So if you missed out. All remaining performances are sold out. However, if you'd like to see some live stage entertainment, we had guests earlier this week, some young adults with us here in the studio, part of the Butler Little Theater's summer youth production of The Snow Queen. That opened up last night, but that's going to be running right through the weekend, tonight at 7:30, tomorrow night at 7:30, and a Sunday matinee as well. And that's all at the Butler Little Theater, The Snow Queen. Okay, midday lottery numbers are in. We'll check them. We'll be back after we check the numbers for you. We'll be right back.
Midday lottery numbers for you today. The pick 2 is 62, 6, 2. The pick 3 is 176, 176. Pick 4 is 9811. And the pick 5 is 51374. The wild ball for each is 1. The treasure hunt, 1, 15, 21, 28, and 30. Estimated jackpot for tomorrow's treasure hunt is $50,000. By the way, the Powerball is an estimated jackpot tomorrow of $205 million. Get your numbers today.
Moving from my home of 50 years was a little scary, but I wasn't safe at home anymore, and my daughter with her busy life, children and grandchildren, it wasn't fair for me to expect so much from her.
We looked together to find a new home and discovered New Haven Court at Clearview.
What made the difference were the employees and the residents we met. The residents said it was a great place to live.
New Haven Court at Clearview, a great place to live because it's a great place to work. 888-261-5753 or visit IntegraCare.com.
Don't forget Pirate Baseball tonight here on WISR. The Pirates are red hot, have been since a week or so before the All-Star break. A little later than usual tonight for our broadcast because the Pirates are in the Mountain Time Zone now. In fact, they're about a mile up in the Mountain Time Zone in Denver to play the Colorado Rockies. 8:15 for a Pirate warm-up tonight here on WISR and the Pittsburgh Pirates Radio Network. We're going to wrap up the It's Your Turn program a little bit earlier today, and we will endeavor to reschedule Pastor John Pistorius as quickly as possible next week, have him on with us. So we've got news coming up shortly. Nice to have you with us today. We'll see you 12:30 on Monday on It's Your Turn here on WISR.
We come on this loop, John B. McGrath. Around Nassau Town we did roam.
Cause we're drag when you know she's been untrue. Oh, listen to me when I'm speaking, cause you know the words I've got to say. And I know that you've been cheating, girl. Like you wanna cry. Oh, girl,
listen to me when I'm speaking, cause
even
you know
though you made me
feel, and I know that you've been cheating,
is your Pittsburgh Pirates station.